glory in the highest. To you, Lord. I love that. Glory in the highest. To you, Lord. Do you all feel that this morning? Glory in the highest to God, who is our Savior, our Redeemer, our Helper. Glory in the highest to you, O Lord. What a profession of faith. Good morning, beautiful people of God. I heard Sally Cost up here. I didn't hear the rest of you. So let's try that one more time. I just called you out all over the world. Good morning, beautiful people of God. So this morning, we are continuing our text, this challenge, this uncomfortable, apocalyptic word of John the Baptist. Remember, he's calling each of us to a different kind of preparation, an eternal preparation, because Advent is a season to restart, a time to get our lives in line so that we will be ready when Jesus finally comes. Remember, waiting is hard, but every good thing comes to who? Those who wait. Advent is the coming, the appearance, the arrival of something new, something unexpected. We show up Sunday after Sunday for something new and for God to reveal something unexpected. Remember the harsh reality surrounding our text today. The regal authority, the seats of power. When we read John the Baptist and talked about him last week, just want to remind you it was the 15th year of the Emperor Tiberius. Pontius Pilate was the governor over Judea. Herod was ruler over Galilee. And God's word came to John, son of Zechariah. John was in the wilderness, and he was calling people to be baptized so that they would change their lives and change their hearts, wanting God to forgive their sins. So our text this morning brings us at the foot of the Jordan River. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. Then Jesus said to the crowds who came to be baptized by him, "You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire." The crowds asked him, "Then what should we do?" He answers, "Whoever has two shirts must share with the one who has none, and whoever has food must do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. They said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He replied, "Collect no more than you're authorized to collect." Soldiers asked, "What about us? What should we do?" He answered, "Don't cheat or harass anyone, and be satisfied with your pay." The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be the Christ. John replied to them all, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the strap on his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. The shovel, he will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the husks with a fire that can't be put out. With many other words, John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, it is Christmas time. At Christmas, there are packages to be opened, gifts to be unwrapped. We look to them with anticipation. Yet this Christmas, oh God, may we be so blessed as to see beyond the wrapping paper. May we learn anew what this joyous celebration is all about, your gift to us in Christ and our gift to others in return. You are an awesome and faithful God, and we are so grateful to gather in this space, this sacred space, to worship you. Open our hearts, our minds, our hands, and use us, God, for your glory. May we receive this day what you have for us. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen. So in my neighborhood, there is this wonderful little lady who says hello to me every time she sees me. If she is with someone, family member or friend, she always introduces me to that person. I love my encounters with her. She's always polite. She has this big, bright, beautiful smile and a twinkle in her eye. But there's only one problem. And it's not that she takes my parking spot on a consistent basis, because I could forgive her for that. But it's that she thinks my name is Joy. I'm not kidding. So for the first 6 months, I told her my name is Sheila. I don't know if she didn't believe me or if she thought I was kidding. Kira has been with me when she has called me Joy. I didn't correct her. Kira said, Mom, your name's not Joy. I said, I know. I tried to let her know, but let her call me Joy. Maybe it's mistaken identity. She knows someone named Joy and thinks I'm her. But I've learned to embrace the name change because it makes me smile. And guess what? It does bring me joy. Who wouldn't want to be named Joy or Grace or Love? I consider every time I meet her a divine encounter because she says, hello, Joy. It's a reminder from God that joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That joy, encountered multiple times, can multiply. That joy is a gift. It is a present and available today. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we forget that. But what I want you to know this day is this gift from God, this joy, cannot be given nor taken away by anyone. Joy comes from God. So before we even get started, the third wonder of Christmas is nothing can steal the joy that comes from God. If you hear nothing else this day, remember, nothing can steal the joy that comes from God. Though it may not sound like it, today's text is about the beginning of the end, proclaiming the good news, giving us insight into the one who is coming and the joy he will bring. We continue to be challenged as we embark upon this ethical U-turn and into a deeper level of self-reflection and how we respond to the words, prepare the way for the Lord. God is shaping us as individuals and as a community of faith. In the beginning of this passage, John is skeptical of the crowd's readiness for repentance. He begins with calling them names. I don't want to ever have to begin a sermon that way. But he says to the crowd, he says, "You brood of vipers," or "children of snakes." In essence, he's calling them destructive and the fruit of evil. John's message frames this passage by informing the crowd that being children of Abraham, children of the chosen one, children of the Israelites, proclaiming and holding on to their identity is no longer enough to be right with God. I don't know about you, but I feel this sense of urgency in the text, an urgency to bear fruit, good fruit, unexpected fruit, fruit that is worthy of the Christ in us. After hearing verse 9, where it says the axe is already at the root of the trees, therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire. The crowds respond to this great sense of urgency, and they ask John the Baptist for direction with one very simple yet complex question. What then should we do? What then should we do? That is often a question that we ask as we gather ourselves in our homes with friends and family, as we gather for fellowship. What then should we do? Shall we play games? Shall we eat? Shall we talk? What shall we do? But what if we shifted that question just a little bit? When we gather in our homes for Christmas, when we gather together in conversation over coffee, when we gather as one and we ask the question, what then shall we do? What if it shifted to what then shall we do for Christ? What would our conversations look like in our homes, in our workplaces, in our studies, in our time apart from worship on Sunday mornings? What should we do for Christ? So I want us to sit there for just a moment with that question on our hearts. Amid the wonder of Christmas, keeping calm and having hope, amid receiving the peace of God's salvation, what shall we do, saints of God, for Christ? Christ said in John 10:10, "I came to give you life, to live life to the fullest, to have life, and to have it in abundance." What would happen if we were like those crowds who gathered around John the Baptist, revealing our receptive hearts and asked the question, what then shall we do for Christ? What shall I do for Christ? See, to prepare the way of the Lord is to produce fruit, good fruit, that shows our hearts and our lives have changed. To prepare the way of the Lord is to reveal that the fruit of Christ in us sees all, bears all, and is all. Sometimes we do not remember, or we may not recall, what this fruit is that John the Baptist is referring to. You may remember it as the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Saints, there is no law against bearing these fruits that God has blessed us with. Yet there is an urgent need for God's fruit among us. There is an urgent need for love, for peace, for patience, for self-control, for gentleness, for kindness, for faithfulness, for goodness, and for joy. See, John surprises us all when the question is asked. He does not say, bow down and pray, when they say, what shall we do? He does not offer all of these grand suggestions. But what he does offer and call those gathered into is unexpected. He calls them into this space of radical generosity. He calls for the prophetic demand of loving kindness. He calls for honesty and integrity. He calls for humility. He calls for them to share with those in need, and to be comforted by the news of God's love for all of humanity. And he calls for us to recognize when all the ways that our world still does not measure up to God's justice, God's standards of justice, we by our actions can make a difference. Saints, there is an urgent need for God's fruit among us. John, in the most peculiar way, is preaching joy within the good news of the gospel. So often, we are not encouraged to have joy in God. Instead, we're taught to value possessions, power, and position. But true joy is not found in those things. True joy comes from abiding in Christ's love. True joy flows from being a follower of Jesus Christ, being united in mind and love and spirit and purpose. Joy is a gift, a fruit of the Spirit from God. It is a natural response to a gracious gift. And in every instance in the Bible, that gift of joy originates with God, including the arrival of the Messiah. Prepare the way of the Lord, O people of God, because true joy is found only in Christ Jesus. I realized through study that it is imperative for John the Baptist to begin this preaching moment, his name-calling moment, for the crowd to understand it's not business as usual. Having the traditional Abrahamic identity is no longer enough. Christ without fruit is pointless, and joy without Christ is fruitless. You can have that one for free. Christ without fruit is pointless, and joy without Christ is fruitless. If we look for God's work and gift in our lives, we will always have joy. If we get caught up in temporary hardships, especially around this time of the year, when we're trying to find money and gifts and things to do for the people that we love, we get caught up in these worldly desires, our joy will be fleeting and weak. Even in hardship, our joy remains because it is dependent upon God and His promise to each of us. There are so many promises that God gives to us in the scriptures, but I'm only going to say one, and that's in Philippians 4:4-7. You know this, people of God, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Generosity, saints, is the deepest characteristic of the holy. God gave His Son to us. And because we are made in God's image, our being generous is the secret to our joy as well. Let's be honest. How many of us look uneasily on the glaring contrast of poverty and wealth at Christmas time? John the Baptist is challenging us to do so in this Advent season. He tells them, take half the clothes and give them away. Half the food and give it away. Think about your Christmas list for just a moment. It has the power to take on a different characteristic when viewed through the eyes of John the Baptist. So what shall we do, saints? What shall we do? Don't limit your giving this season to those who gather around your Christmas tree, your dinner table. Remember to give to the least, the lost, and the lonely with the joy of Jesus Christ. Give the gift of kindness instead of contempt. Peace instead of harmful words. Patience instead of accusations. Gentleness and self-control instead of power and influence. Share faithfully the good news that God is with us. Joy is not made by men nor women. It is a gift from God. The people in our text were filled with expectation and excitement and hope. The message he preached stirred their hearts as they anticipated the coming of the one who would bring peace on earth. So we wait. By keeping calm and having hope, we wait, receiving the peace of salvation, we wait with anticipation, because nothing, no one can steal the joy that comes from God. So hear the words, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley will be filled and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight and the rough places made smooth. And all of humanity will see God's salvation. Joy, a gift from God. Hope. In Christ alone, peace, fruit of the Spirit. So we wait. We wait with love, patience, and gentleness, and kindness, and self-control. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for this time to hear, to receive, and to respond. To respond with prayer, to respond in singing together, to respond by remembering generosity beyond the normal. We are grateful, O God, for your grace and your mercy and your love. We are grateful, O God, to gather unified with you. So as we continue to worship you, O God, show us your joy so that we may share that joy with everyone we meet. Fill us right now. Fill us, O God. Hear our cries and our prayers. But Lord, as we sit before your throne, stir our hearts. We wait in expectation and anticipation of the one who will bring peace on earth. Thank you, O God. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's children said, Amen.